And I have it on my calendar. I have John Wilkerson preaching for me next week. He'll be here in Sunday school and then in church. And, of course, I couldn't have him next week. And then Dan Hassman's coming next Sunday, our missionary from Africa. They're coming. Man, I'm excited about that. And I had a preacher coming tonight. Finally called him on the phone about 15 minutes before the service started. And I said, "Hey, brother, where you at? I just can't wait to hear you tonight." He said, "Who is this?" I said, "This is Brother Shearer." And I said, he said, "Well, I'm in Laurel." He said, "How far is that from there?" And I said, 3.5 hours. And I said, "Well, Brother Witta said that I was supposed to preach at your church next week." I said, "No, I can't do that." I said, "I've had Brother Wilkinson in my calendar for a long time." I said, "So anyway, you got me tonight." Amen. Oh, amen. I couldn't believe it. Oh, anyway. Well, you know, there's some things going on around our church. We have a lot to be thankful for. I would like to hear a few testimonies tonight. We sang this morning that wonderful song about being thankful. And, count your many blessings. And we have seen such a change in my wife. I just can't get over it. I'd hope that Marsh would say something about her and maybe Deb and just maybe some of you folks have something about your family and what's going on in your life. And so I'm just going to open up a little testimony. I have a good sermon for you. Don't catch yourself. I always got my guns loaded, and there's never a question about that. It's always there. Anyway, I'd just like to hear a few testimonies. And so, Brother Rick. Roving microphone man. Go down there and let's have Marcia start it off. Put her on a spot there, amen. You're welcome, amen.
I guess he knows I'm a jabberbox, but we have so much to be thankful for. Just this past week, just time together as a family. And I have a plaque that I bought myself, and it says, "Every day is a gift." And so true that is. But Mom's just been so, her thought process is there more, and sometimes it doesn't always connect, but when it's connecting more than not. And just the enjoyment that she has instead of going through motions, I think she's enjoying being with us.
Amen.
Just as much as we are with her, and we can see that. And so that's great. And, of course, getting to steal Papa. Because we don't like to share. But that was fun. We do like to share, but we do like to have that time. And that was very special. And having Deb and Brian here. So things are different. Things are changed. But we still have our family and people.
Amen.
And things are just things. But people, every day is a gift.
Amen. All right. Over to Deb. There you go.
I can't say a word because I thought this was a good idea, huh? I am just so thankful to be here. It's good to see all of you. Carol, I'm so glad to see you up and out. We've been praying for you.
Amen.
I know it's been hard. I was telling Breacher this afternoon that when we come to visit now, we want to come so bad, but it's hard because we know things aren't exactly the same. But this has been just a wonderful trip. It's been one of our best, and we've just had such a good time together. We've laughed, we've cried, we've sang crazy songs. We went shopping, as you can tell. Difficult now. We used to be able to buy the same size. Now we shop for a toothpick and a log, but it's been just a great week, and I'm just so thankful how God has just worked a miracle in Marsha's life, and you all have been here to watch it day by
Amen.
Day.
And help.
I envy you. But I haven't been here since Christmas, and such a great change. Just so thankful that we have our God, and He knows, and He's not surprised. And all that matters is that we bring glory to Him.
Amen.
He left us here for two reasons: to win souls and to edify the saints, to bring glory to His name. And I know Marcia is bringing glory to her God, and this is the way that God chose right now for her to do that, and this is the way He chose for each of us to do it. In our circumstance, we're not where we are by accident. We're where we are because this is where God wants us to be and how He wants us to be. And I've been teaching preschool since Pillsbury closed. I was, you know, suddenly without a job and had to reinvent who I was, because for 21 years I was the face of Pillsbury. When anybody came for special events and everything, that was me. And they talked to me on the phone, and we had all the college kids in our house and everything, and all of a sudden the college went away. And that was very, very hard for Brian and I. And so now I'm teaching preschool. I teach four-year-olds. I taught college before. Now I teach preschool. And
about the same.
It's all beginnings, yeah. And it's just been awesome. I had 6 last year. I'm going to have 13 this year in our Christian school. And so we're looking for some growth. And, you know, sometimes I look at that and I think, I'm not good enough. I'm not the best teacher that they could have. But I taught my little kids all how to read and see the little light bulbs come on, and taught them about Jesus. They learned verses. They could just whip them off. And they're only 4 years old. And just don't sell your little ones short. Don't think, oh, they're tiny. They don't, yeah, no. They can learn so much. And it's just really been, I don't know, God's just really done a work. In me, to accept that He put me where He put me for a reason, to do what I can do for Him. And that's where He's put each of you to.
Amen.
Is in where the place you are to shine for Him.
I'm thankful for my salvation and also for my family. I was thinking about the trip we just went on up to Glacier, and one thing that Deb was with Mom, and Mom looked at her and said, I'm so happy I'm alive. You know, how often in life we take that for granted. And that time we get to spend with our family and get to be together, and we had a great time. I was thankful I got to be there with my wife, who's right a lot of times also. We learned that this morning. And appreciate that message. And also, I knew that though. So, but very, very thankful for that. And also for our two boys. When you watch a video like we watched this morning, see the Wilkersons and that loss, it just makes you so thankful for what you have. And you'll want to take advantage of it. Or the biggest thing I can tell people is try and get as much out of each day as possible, even when you're tired, even when you don't feel like it. Don't take advantage, because you don't know when that time's not going to be there.
Right.
Well, I'm very thankful for my salvation and for my husband and for my son and my daughter-in-law and my two grandbabies. But I wanted to say thank you to the church from Olean. Hmm. We saw her today. And she's still in the hospital. It's been 3 weeks since her surgery. She may be able to come home this week.
Wow.
Her oxygen level's been great. She has not been wearing oxygen all
wow.
the time
wow.
like she was doing. And she's up walking around, and she's looking great, and she's feeling great. And she just is. She told us today that she was thankful for all of you and that prayed for her and for the church family that she has that she never had.
Amen. Amen. Pat.
Y'all know I'm a sinner, right? I'm a terrible sinner. Because of this man here and that wonderful woman sitting right there, I'm back in church. And I praise God for you guys. You know, my life the last 10 years has been a lot of ups and downs. Been by myself. Thought I was going to stay that way. And thought I was happy. Or at least as happy as I could be for me. But and just as things keep coming by in my life, and I keep getting knocked down and come back into church and sit down here in one of these chairs, and that man up there or some evangelist comes by, and they just seems like the message is there for me to help pick me back up.
Amen.
And it's been there for me. And God gave me this wonderful young lady, who I know a lot of people didn't approve of this, but God did, because He put her there for me. And this is the first time in my life that I feel like I have a real partner in life, that I don't have to do it all by myself. And I've felt that way since I was 20 years old. Until I married her. And so now I have a wonderful wife that I never thought I would have. I have family, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law. And I still have my church family, and sometimes they hurt me and disappoint me and put things upon me that I don't think are right, but I sit down in this chair and I listen to that man of God. And He says the words that I need to hear. God keeps doing that. I don't know how, but it's not for me to know how. It's just to listen, to learn, and to love, and keep coming back, and keep doing what I can do to help my friends, my family, my fellow man. And just like we said earlier, my purpose in life is to glorify God and serve my fellow man. Amen. And that's what I'm going to try to do.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. We're sure glad you're here.
I'm so thankful that I got a pastor that's been there for me through everything in my life. And if it wasn't for him, I probably would not make it. I love you, preacher.
I'm really thankful for having such a great church family. As y'all know, I moved back up here just recently to marry this beautiful woman. God brought us back together after about a year and a half or so of not really talking to each other. But I just thank a lot of y'all for being there, supporting us in our decision to get married despite some of the hardships that she's been going through. I know, very thankful for having a great pastor. And I've been told by a close friend that I should move churches because of the situation. And I just flat out told her no, because this is where God wants us.
Amen.
I was like, there's no ands, if, buts about it. Being on the bus with the Ortezes has been a blessing. Getting to see those bus kids come in, smiling Amen. Faces, and getting to help out with the children's church, that's been really awesome too. Just continue to pray for us as we continue to go down our roads that we need to go. I'm really close to achieving a new goal that will get me into something that I've really been wanting to get into for several years now. Just continue to pray that I reach that goal soon. Just thank you all. Love you.
All right. Any others? Yes. Is Roy okay?
Yeah, I just want to thank the good Lord for our salvation and for y'all's prayer and for the family that y'all are. Everything that happens, we feel that it's God has a purpose in what He's doing. And some of you say, well, Carol fell again and broke her arm. Well, some of you maybe don't know that she fell 3 years ago and pretty well lost the right side of her body functions. And anyway, she hadn't been using her right hand. She'd been training her left hand to do her writing and signing her name and all that. And since this accident that she's had, well, now she's working on that right hand and going back and doing exercises and stuff with that hand and going back to learning how to write. And just so many different things. you know, we say, well, you know, we're so sorry you fell, or so sorry this happened. Well, you know, the good Lord has a purpose in everything he does, and that's how we definitely believe. And we really appreciate all your prayers and love, and it's just been a great honor to be here and be with you all.
Amen.
Well, I praise the Lord for my salvation. The way the world's going today, that seems to just get sweeter every day. And I praise the Lord for God just getting through with our family for everything that's going on this year. Both Joe's and my health has kind of been like a yo-yo, kind of up and down. But yet God always sees it through. And praise the Lord for my husband still being here.
Amen.
That was a very close call. And I praise the Lord for that and for my family. And I really praise the Lord for their heads is coming back. Especially for Sherry. I don't even know if she knows this. But it seems like for so long, the devil's just been pounding me. And I was ready to give up. I was ready to quit. I was ready to quit on God, ready to quit church, quit everything. And it was her coming back and just being my wonderful friend right from the start. And she was just a great encouragement to me and got me through that tough time.
Amen. All right. Bring me that microphone. Take your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4. Good to hear your testimonies tonight. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's stand and read God's word tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. This letter probably is the most impersonable letter of all of Paul's writings. This letter, there's a certain church at Ephesus that he's writing to. City of Ephesus was a great city of Asia Minor. It was a cultural city. It was a commercial center. And in that, and they had an ample harbor that they could go in, and world trade was there. Paul stayed 3 years in that city, started to build up that church. And the church is mentioned even in one of the seven churches of Asia Minor in Revelation. And so you kind of get an idea when you're reading this. There's also a church that was that was a center for the very immoral practice of Diana. The temple of Diana was there, the goddess of love. And very, very incredible things that happened. They had 1,000 priestess, they call them. They were prostitutes, and they had dedicated, sacrificed their life to the Temple of Diana. And, of course, you can just imagine what was going on there. And Paul, the church was started there. And, of course, a lot of these people had experienced these very immoral practices, and now they're getting saved. Thank God. Amen. And there's a change starting to happen in their life. And what a tremendous thing. Well, anyway, Paul writes this church, and he tells them things. I want to talk to you about your behavior, believer's behavior, and if I can say anything, and that would be that in all this, Paul writes and says, you know, we need to be balanced. We just need to be balanced. You know, some people, they're so worried about this over here, and they don't do any of this stuff. Jesus Christ even talked about some of this. He said, you're more interested in the tithe of the mint and the cumin. And he said, you're not even close to what the idea of Christianity really is. And so I want to talk to you about that tonight. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And of course, when we're saved, we're called. We're called. Every one of us are called to a vocation, a calling. and a striving together, you might say. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And there's that word again that I spoke about this morning. Endeavoring to keep the unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's striving. We're endeavoring. We're striving. We're trying everything we can to make sure that we keep in peace. That'll keep your house real happy at your home if you strive to keep peace in your home. You children, you strive to keep peace with your parents. Your parents strive to keep peace with your children. Same way in the church, whether it be from nursery all the way to the Sunday school, bus, whatever. We strive together, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. Even ye are called in one hope for your calling, or of your calling, one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all, you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captive, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he is ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Father in heaven, I pray you just speak to our hearts now, Lord God. We thank you for loving us and caring for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege it is that we can serve you. Now I pray, Heavenly Father, you just do a great work in our heart and our lives tonight. And Lord, we look into the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. See what I do with my hand. Bail out. The key word of these scriptures is consistency. Boy, we all like consistency. We like people that are the same all the time. We don't like yo-yo people. We like to go to our favorite restaurant and get the same exact recipe and exact piece of meat and exact tomatoes and mustard and pickle and relish or whatever is put on it, we want it consistent. We like it consistent when we go to the bank and we put money in. We want to consistently get the same money out. We like consistency. We like getting that old car of ours and fire it up and it consistently starts. Last night I experienced something I hadn't experienced for years. I had a flat tire. I never, hardly ever have a flat tire. I always try to keep real good tires on my car. And I just don't like having a flat tire. Well, I had one last night. I wasn't too pressed. I didn't like it. Couldn't find the jack. Couldn't find nothing. They hide those things on the new cars. It's the most incredible thing, adventure we went into. Amen. Thank God for a couple belt guys that came by and helped us. Amen. And Uncle Brian. But I like consistency. I like consistency. When I open up a can of French cut string beans, they're French cut string beans. I like consistency. I like the consistency when I go get a frappuccino, a mocha frappuccino at Starbucks. I do about once a month because I can't afford it anymore. And I want a triple shot, and I want double blend, and I don't want them messing around. Just do it the same way every time. Amen. I'm a creature of habit. When I go home, I want my socks in the drawer, all mated, and thank you, God bless you. I couldn't figure out, but it was a wonderful experience this morning when I went to my drawer and found all my socks in just the right place. I like my those white things the guys wear. I want the pants on one side and the shirts on another. just the way it is. I like to know where I'm going. I like to be able to go in and it's dark and my wife is sleeping. I like going there and without turning the light on, just grab the stuff and take off, run in the bathroom, get dressed. Amen. I like that. It's consistency. How many like that? I like my garments folded just a certain way or rolled up a certain way. I mean, that I'm just kind of weird that way. I like the blues on the left and the lighters on the right and on the socks. I mean, it was perfect. That's just the way I like it. I like my sheriff uniform. It's right there. I get calls a lot of times in the middle of the night, and I don't want to have to think where things are. I want my flashlight on a certain area. I want my radio thing on a certain area, and I can just pull them out and put them on and zip them up and put my vest on and put my shirt on, zip it up, and got my tie, and man, I'm ready to go. Amen. Don't you like consistency? Paul the Apostle wrote, he said, listen, he said, we need some consistency. This letter is the most impersonal letter Paul writes. In fact, there's not a lot of names in it. The city of Ephesus was a great city of Asia Minor. The city itself had that great temple, Diana, which was also one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, which was jealously guarded. Listen to me, jealously guarded, to say the least. Paul, in his first prison term, when he wrote this book, he compared the local church to six different kinds of things. And he starts off in chapter 1. The church is compared to a body for service. You know, you can't get much done if you don't have a body. You know, you got a leg hanging over there, and you got an arm hanging over there, and you got a nose up there, and a foot back here. You're not going to get much done, amen. He said, body for service. He said that we as a church is like a body. There's some noses and some heads and there's some brains and there's some ears and there's some feet and there's some hands and there's some fingernails and there's some eyelashes, and thank God for eyelashes, amen. And eyebrows, amen. I just can't figure out. I'm getting to heaven. I'm going to ask God, how come that there's hair growing out places that should not be growing out? Seems like you got lost. Some of you guys, your hair grow beard, but you not have anything on top. I don't know what's going on with that, amen. Secondly, in chapter 2, the church is compared to a temple for worship. We worship. And this is a place we come to worship, amen. Now, we're bodies, and the bodies have to have a place to worship. We have to have a place to come together. And then in chapter 3, he talks about the church compared to a family for fellowship. He says, hey, you know what? This is a time of fellowship. And we heard it tonight. What would I do without our church? I hope you never find out, because there's a lot of people that do find those things out. There's a lot of people out there that don't have a church. And unfortunately, they are so proud. And this devil has blinded their eyes in the fact that if they say, well, if I come back, what will people think? I'll tell you what, people. What if somebody came back, haven't been here for many, say like 10 years, what would you say?
Amen!
Amen! Boy, glad to have you! I don't care why you left, I'm just glad you're back. Amen. That's the way it is in a family, isn't it? You do some stupid stuff, you say some stupid stuff, you don't answer the way they thought you should have answered, or you don't hear what you thought they answered, or you don't give somebody what you thought you should have given, and somebody didn't get what they thought they should have got, and on and on. That happens in families. But when it's all said and done, we come back, somebody has to swallow a little pride, or somebody has to do something, because it ain't fun being alone. Just not fun. That's not the way God made it. Families are supposed to be families. Families are supposed to eat together. Families are supposed to sleep together. Families are supposed to cry together and laugh together. Families are supposed to mourn together. We're supposed to all come together. Amen. So Paul writes, chapter 3, he said, now listen, the church is like a family for fellowship. It's where we come to get together. You know, tomorrow I'll go to a meeting in Chicago, and I'll be there on Tuesday, and I'll fly back early on Wednesday, and fly back on Monday. Boy, that'd really be flying, wouldn't it? let's see, speed of sound. But anyway, but I enjoy being around those guys, but I don't enjoy being. I can't wait till Friday night being around you guys. That's going to be a hoot. Just being around the guy, just be able to harass you. And you harass me, and I miss, and you're going to laugh at me. And then when you miss, I'm going to laugh at you. And it's okay. You can laugh at me all you want. The way it is. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be family. My home back in Michigan, anytime we get together, the shotguns come out, amen. Hopefully nobody has scared the pigeons out of the barn. And I'm going to tell you something. When them pigeons come out of the barn, man, ba-doom, man, it sounds like World War III. And then we get down to a serious shooting after all the pigeons fly away unharmed and unhurt. We start shooting clay pigeons. And there's a lot of harassment going on there. Did some shooting with my boys yesterday. And there's a lot of harassment going on there. Trouble is, little bugger could out shoot me. That kind of bothers me a little bit. But I'll get back. Church is a family for fellowship. We need this. We need our fellowship time. We need our times of when Mrs. Wilkerson comes and you come and you and when she's here, you mourn with her and you laugh with her. It's just part of the family. We need family. Chapter 4 is compared to a group of students for instruction. All of us like good instruction. We like to be taught something. We like to learn something. It's good to learn something new all the time. It's really good. Great to learn things. And I love to hear people say, why do you know that? And I like to say, wow, you ain't kidding me on this, are you? Chapter 5 of the church compared to a bride for love and devotion. Now, some of you young couples here just got married. Some of us old geezers, we still love the love. We still love that love and devotion. Just being around each other. And Paul writes, he says, the church is like a married couple's love and devotion to the Heavenly Father. I don't want to miss out. I want to be with her. There's just something about touching. There's just something about being around them. Their smell, their characteristics, their attitude, their, just love to be around. Chapter 6 talks about the church as compared to an army for battle. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ who have a responsibility to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to concern you with chapter 4 and chapter 6, the believer's behavior. Key is consistency. The key thought here is what? Walk. 8 times in Ephesians, he talks about walk. That's a key. To be consistent, you must walk. You must have a right kind of walk. And he gives some key thoughts here in chapter 4, verse 1 through 16. And you'll find in 4:3 it says, the walk of unity. That's a big deal. If you're not unified, you can't get nothing this morning. We say, hey, we need some help to send some kids to camp. Amen? Just like that. People unified and said, hey, I'll take some. Hey, I'll take it. And before you know it, we had it taken care of. Sweet! How sweet is that? We unified together and say, hey, we'll do it. Also, he talks about in chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 32, he talks about the walk of purity. I'm reading a book and it's tremendous. And Sammy, you make sure I get that book to you. I'd like to get it to you, preacher boys. It is a tremendous book. At this moment, I can't think of the name of it. Was written by a pastor that passed away. Terry Ellis gave me a book. I bought some copies to send to the to the kids over in Nepal. They're in college. And I'm going to order some more of those books. Tremendous. And it talks about the pastor's, the minister's responsibility. If he is not going to be holy, he does not need to be a pastor. We are, someone asked me the other day, he said, Pastor, what is the deal? I know so many pastors that have gone off the deep end immorally. And I said, name them. Well, she named a few. But I'll guarantee you, she can name a lot of them never had. They're still standing tight, still standing straight with their wife, still standing straight with morality. Yeah, they're out there. And Paul said, you know, these are dangerous times. And that's why we're so important. We as Christians, we walk in purity. That's why I constantly tell you ladies, dress up. Don't make us men break our necks trying to look away from you. Dress up. That's only for your husband. Beautiful illustration in the Old Testament is when the high priest would come in in the Holy of Holies, and that's illustrating the husband coming into his wife. Nobody else would go there, just one man. Amen. And boy, I'll tell you what, we need to walk in purity. And then he talks about walk in love, and I certainly beat the fire out of that this morning. Walk in love, chapter 1 through 1 through 6. And chapter 5, 1 through 6, he talks about we need to walk in the light. How do I find the light? The Word of God. I need the light. I need to stay in the light. And then walk in harmony. And this is talking about the husband and wife relationship. It talks about the husband and wife, chapters 5:33. And it talks about the parent and children relationship, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. And then it talks about the master and servants, chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. It talks about that walking together in harmony. Let me tell you something, Dad and Mom. If you aren't in harmony at home, you have lost the fun out of your life. You've lost it. It's no fun. It's hard. Living in a home when there's fussing and complaining and always, what's the word for it? Contention. Always somebody there that's always thinks they know everything. Let me tell you something. You don't know everything. When I was a kid, we used to call them the smarty pants. They're just smarty pants. They just always got something to say about everybody. Relax. I'm riding with my grandson, and I have a Bluetooth on my helmet, and there's one on the other helmet, and it has a microphone so we can talk back and forth. I'm riding the motorcycle, and it's fun. I really enjoy it. And one of them says, Papa, when are we going to get there? And I said, there's more fun in the ride over there than when you get there. There's more fun on the ride. The experience of getting there usually is more fun than when you get there. Because many times when we get there, we're disappointed. So enjoy the ride. And he giggled and enjoyed the ride. And we talked about this and that and this and that and just enjoyed the ride. That's the whole thing. Why do you think a guy on a motorcycle gets on a motorcycle and drives clear over to Oregon? To get to Oregon? No! Then experience a ride. Experience a ride. Going down the rattlesnake. Going on some of those things. Just back and forth, back and forth. Amen. In a Christian life, we'll enjoy the ride. Who knows how much time we have with each other? Eric and Julie, leaving us tomorrow. I have fell in love with these kids. Amen. Like my own. Can't imagine. How long are you here? 6 months?
About 3 weeks shy of a year.
3 weeks shy of a year. They don't do that in the military. It's usually, but when you're good, they want you. But I have enjoyed the ride with them. By the way, tomorrow's not the end. We can keep contact with them if they'll send their cell phone number, like some other people that just left, and I don't even know how to get a hold of them. Well, you keep in contact with us. We want you to know you're part of the family here. You're our family. And we won't forget you. And that ride, that enjoyable ride that we're having, enjoy it. Amen. And then the last, he talks about the walk in victory. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be a loser. I like to win. I really do. I like to be a winner. And Paul says, hey, we've got it. He said, in chapter 6, verse 10 through 24, he talks about be strong. I was reading that last night in the scriptures. Moses said to Joshua, be strong. Told him, be strong. But here, Paul writes, he said, be strong. And then he says, and when the Lord makes you strong, he said, he'll make you powerful. Look at how balanced this book is from doctrine to duty. We have doctrine, but we also have duty. He says, Paul reminds us what God has done for us. Then he tells us what we must do for him. That's cool. But this is what God did. Now this is what God expects you to do. Doctrine, duty. Then he tells us what we must do for him. Christian living is based on Christian learning. You can't expect somebody to do right unless they're not taught to do right. You can't expect your children to do right. You can expect your children to do wrong, but you can't expect your children to do right unless you teach them to do right. They must have it in their hands. They must see it. They must feel it. Friday night, we'll go out and do some shooting. Some guys have never had a shotgun in their hand. I was up in Canada with Brother Ortiz. Remember when we went up there and those Canadians? And I think like three-fourths of them never shot a gun in their life. Never shot a gun. They've never even seen a pistol, unless on TV. They've never shot a shotgun. And there's one guy there that really was interested in the shotgun. And Brother Jason said, Buker said, teach him how to shoot that. I said, sure. And I said, all right. I said, and this is how you put the shell in. You jack one in, one's enough, first time. And I said, when that bird goes out, you put that bead right on it. And just bring it, and don't stop. Just keep following and pull the trigger and keep following it. Actually, some of us, we talk about slapping the trigger when you go over it. And first time went off. And I saw it getting real close. Second time the bird went up, bang, he hit that thing, and that guy was mesmerized. He was bit. You know what I'm talking about? He wanted to be shooting. He said, no, let me shoot. Everybody else wanted to get in line. No, I'm going to shoot, And he got a taser. You know what? He didn't even know how to put a shell into that shotgun. But when the day was done, I'm telling you, he could jack those things, boom, boom. And I think one time he hit two in a row. Just bang, another bird went up, bang, he shot that one too. That's why in a Christian life, we need to be, someone's got to teach us. Someone's got to go, hey, buddy, let me help you. To the believer who does not know his wealth in Christ and his power in Christ, he'll never be able to walk for Jesus Christ. Where does he find that? In the Word of God. Where does he find that? Someone comes along and helps him. Our conduct depends on our calling. Are we really saved? You really believe you're going to heaven? Your life will change if you believe you're going to heaven. Amen. And your life will change when you realize that people that do not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell and they're going to burn forever. Your life will change. Our conduct depends on our calling, and too many Christians want to live chapters 1, 2, and 3 and study doctrine, but few want to do what chapter 4, 5, and 6 by practicing duties of a good Christian. I don't know about you, but you've got to have a balanced life. You have to have a consistent life. It's got to be together. I hope you live a Christian life. I hope you'll be consistent. I hope your husband will say to you someday, "Honey, what I love about you is you're balanced." I hope that your wife will say to you, "Husband, you know, honey, what I love about you the most, you're balanced. You're consistent. You're all the same. And the kids can always see Daddy is always the same. Not living for God one day and devil the next, but he's always the same." And I hope your mom and dad can say, "You know what about you, honey? Son, you know about you? You're consistent. I can trust you. Though I'm not responsible to trust you, I still can trust you." By the way, someone said to me, "Does that mean I can't trust my children?" When I said a while back, I said, God never called me to trust my child. God called me to what? Protect my child. But it doesn't say I won't trust them. Somebody said, "Well, does that mean you just never trust them?" No, I didn't say that. But in my job, God said, I'm to protect that child. But I'll tell you what, there's quite a few kids out here that you can trust. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Oh, Lord, I pray you just help us to be more like you. And that our lives would be right with you. God, help us to do as you say. Help us to walk in unity and purity and love and light and harmony and victory. Help us, Lord, have a balanced life about us. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for our people. Lord, keep us safe this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.